And now it's working. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. On behalf of the OIE, I thank you and the Implementation Support Unit for inviting the World Organization for Animal Health, the OIE, to this meeting of experts, and especially for giving us the opportunity to present the OIE guidelines for investigation of suspicious biological events at this MX4. Could I have the next slide, please? Ah, clicker's coming. Perfect. And it is, oops. Working? Yes. Thank you. Now the technical things are in order. Now let me give you very briefly some context that is necessary to understand OIE's role. The OIE is not a UN organization, but a member country organization, which is relevant to understand the structure and mandate. Currently, we have 182 member countries representing a vast diversity of cultures, interests, and resources, and many other variables. The OIE itself has a very small staff, but we're using an extensive network of collaborating centers and reference laboratories to leverage technical expertise. In addition, the OIE has official agreements with more than 70 international organizations, such as the World Health Organization and UNODA. But the OIE also works with many other organizations informally, yet closely, and an example would be Interpol. It is part of OIE's mandate to issue standards and guidelines for best practices, for instance, for vaccination, disaster risk management, or on-farm biosecurity. OIE member countries approached OIE and asked for guidance in relation to dealing with deliberate events. And in response, the OIE convened an ad hoc group on biological threat reduction. This ad hoc group developed recently issued guidelines on investigation of suspicious biological events. So these guidelines were written specifically for veterinary services in our member countries, which means they are not prescriptive, but rather provide food for thought on organizational and operational aspects. They are, however, aspirational in nature in the sense that they offer good, if not best, practices in the context of deliberate events. The focus is on intersectoral cooperation, emphasizing the need to bring together different organizational cultures. It is important in our mind to ensure interoperability and establish harmonized protocols between the different sectors in the pre-event phase, before anything happens. To this effect, the guidelines focus on additional tasks or challenges for veterinary services that will likely be linked to investigation of suspected or confirmed deliberate events. The guidelines are currently available online in English, French, and Spanish, and some copies are available in the back of the room. And they're currently also being translated into Arabic and will become available online soon. So here is a list of some organizational aspects that are part of any animal health system, but these require some additional consideration when it comes to deliberate events. National veterinary services should have the legal authority to lead or support investigations. That's not the case in all countries. Legislation for biological threat events should be harmonized with existing national legislation. The chief veterinary officer, or CVO, should take the lead and put biological threat reduction in the context of animal health on the national agenda. In addition, the veterinary services should appoint a position for dealing with biological threats nationally to have a national focal point. OIE's Performance of Veterinary Services, or PVS for short, is an important tool to identify gaps in personnel capacity and capability. However, it is important to understand that even for very well-equipped and well-trained veterinary services, additional personnel and/or skills will be needed in case of a deliberate event. Also, veterinary services should build into outbreak contingency plans the provision to have access to a range of facilities, which may be shared with other agencies, including law enforcement. These additional facilities could include secure communication and IT networks or crisis management centers. Veterinary services should also be resourced to maintain day-to-day operations, while they should have access to resources funding personnel to support additional costs associated with responding to a biological threat event. Additional costs may arise from search personnel or enhanced protective equipment or other items. It is also important to note that the range of stakeholders will change during the investigation of response to a deliberate event. This includes more national agencies and ministries, possibly producers, intergovernmental organizations, non-governmental organizations, and many others. The guidelines follow a timeline of an event as it is shown in the sketch. So for the operational aspects in the pre-planning phase, that should be dedicated, of course, to planning, but also to training and simulation exercises to be best prepared. Our guidelines provide a list of potential triggers or indicators that warrant further investigation and in-depth incident assessment of a disease outbreak. In case of a suspicious event, there is the need for epidemiological investigation, but also for law enforcement and laboratory analyses. These combined results can allow determining the nature of an outbreak, whether it is of natural, accidental, or deliberate origin. However, it has to be noted that a definite determination might not be possible in all cases. In the context of preventing a disease from spreading, the response to an outbreak will be very similar for natural or deliberate events. These are the standard epidemiological investigation and sanitary measures for disease control, for instance, vaccinating or culling animals. In case of suspected or confirmed deliberate events, there are additional measures that should be taken. This relates to forensic investigations and prosecutions. From the point of view of veterinary services, the identification of the perpetrator or perpetrators is important simply to keep them from spreading the pathogen. Overall, the response operations become much more complex in many ways when dealing with deliberate events. A couple of examples will follow. One example for this increased complexity is information sharing. On the one hand, transparency and proactive communication is crucial. On the other hand, joint communication, meaning several sectors speaking with one voice, is important, but this takes time and coordination. There will also be confidential or even classified information that cannot be shared for security or prosecutorial purposes. Then there are joint investigations that have the potential to become challenging. First, the right time must be found when other stakeholders should be invited and involved in the investigation. At this time, the lead of the investigation might shift from veterinary or public health to the security sectors. For instance, samples now have to be considered evidence, changing the handling of the samples, adding more layers, such as establishing and maintaining the chain of custody, as has been mentioned before. It has to be determined which and how many samples should be taken from the veterinary, but also from the law enforcement perspective. It might be advisable to establish joint teams, which requires some level of compatibility of procedures, but also of equipment. As a last example, I would like to mention the need for careful risk analysis and risk assessment. While the risk group, mode of transmission, and other characteristics, including available countermeasures, are known for known pathogens, a deliberate event might entail a modified or enhanced pathogen. This could mean a change in host spectrum, including animal pathogens now spreading to human hosts, higher morbidity and mortality, or increased resistance to countermeasures, including disinfection procedures. Therefore, it is advisable to carefully characterize the pathogen that is causing the outbreak and adjusting standard operating procedures accordingly. There are many more technical aspects listed in the guidelines, and while these are important to bear in mind, and I invite you to have a look at the guidelines, it is clear that intersectoral cooperation and interoperability will be equally pivotal to such an investigation and response. Thank you.